Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Are in full swing with the Browns holding the number 2 pick, and the playoffs are just around the corner for the Cavs. Don't miss a minute of The Fan during your workday or on the go. Stream us at 923thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on The Fan. Going to talk to Spencer Davies of Cleveland Cavaliers on SI coming up here in just a few moments. The team has gone from 4-game losing streak to almost a 30-point win over the Jazz. A lot of different things to break down what it means for the Cavs coming up. So let's go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He is Spencer Davies of Cleveland Cavaliers NSI, and he joins us now. Spence, how's it going?
Good, Jake. How about yourself, man?
We're doing well. I guess I would just I'll throw out the very general West Coast trip to you. And I'll leave you the floor to you here, Spence. Obviously, has not gone to plan, picking up a 4-game losing streak. If you picked the biggest reason as to why, where would you land?
Apathy. I think that a lot of these guys are probably looking ahead to a month from now, when the real time to gather themselves and get going into a postseason run is really what matters to them. And it's just one of these things where if you look throughout the NBA and a lot of the top-tier contenders, they don't typically have good marches. And I think you can look at that by the last 10 games across the board for anyone not named the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference. No one's really had the perfect kind of go here as of late because they're all prepping to get to the next step while other teams are fighting for their spot in the playoffs. So I think that's kind of created a perfect storm, if you will. And it's also just kind of led to a little bit of complacency, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, makes a ton of sense. I think I would probably land it in the same space as you, but obviously something was different, whether or not it was the Jazz just not being very good or something in the play actually changing yesterday afternoon with a 120-91 win over the Jazz. What was the thing, if anything, that it was different to you going up against Utah compared to the 4 games or even really the 2 weeks prior?
Yeah, I mean, post All-Star break, it hasn't been the best, and I think it's also been on the defensive end where they haven't been quite up to par. They haven't been really guarding the ball well, and I think that there's been a lot of experimentation, too, with the lineups. There have been different type of bench duos coming in, like Ty Jerome and DeAndre Hunter coming off the bench, but then he might get a spot start here or there. You might have Donovan Mitchell resting a game, Darius Garland resting a game, Evan Mobley, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like that might have played into it. But also, again, I just think that they've gone cold. And I think that we know what they're capable of offensively. There's not any reason to panic with this team offensively. They have too many weapons that can shoot the heck out of the ball, but they can also win inside. And I think that is really what kind of got them going against the Jazz, that they started to actually go towards the paint and try to attack and get to the line. And it started with Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley recognizing that. And I think that it kind of trickled down to the teammates. And then the rest of the guys just started making shots in the second half because it wasn't a pretty shooting game by any means. The first half, I think they went 3 of 30 or something crazy like that from deep. And then they started to see the ball go through the net. and then you start to open up the outside game. So it's just kind of a game that it just is up and down, really. It's what basketball is. It's a game of runs, and it's a season of runs if you really want to go to that. And, you know, just listening to how they talk in the locker room post-game, you know, like, look, you know, like you can't be perfect and everything doesn't always go your way, but you also can't control sometimes when Kevin Durant goes off for 40-plus or Kawhi Leonard can't miss. You know, those things are kind of out of your control. I think the Sacramento game was probably the most disappointing loss of this road trip. But they come to an end here on Tuesday night in Portland, and then it's back home, and the schedule doesn't stop. I mean, they are going to play 16 games in 29 days in March, so that's pretty crazy for me, I think, as far as the NBA schedule goes.
Yeah, no doubt. You pointed to the shooting. Again, it's a stretch of where you just don't shoot very well. Is there a point for you that you get almost concerned, or it's at least validated to be concerned as a team where you stop shooting? Is there a spot they can get to if they haven't turned it around that you'd become a little bit worried?
I do not have any concern with their shooting. I think that what you can look at is, are they generating the correct looks? If they're generating the correct looks and they're not going down, then it is what it is at this point of the season. Now you go to the playoffs and that starts happening, then you got to obviously turn on, you know, the alert button. But I feel like as long as they are in their offensive process where they're not going ISO ball and reverting to habits that they've had in the past couple of years, they're fine. And you know, a lot of this has to do with Ty Jerome making the shots that he's made all year. You know, Sam Merrill was on a roll going into this road trip and then obviously hasn't had quite as much success from deep. You know, Evan Mobley's been very much so open to taking those shots on the outside. And then obviously the thing that's been most, you know, eye glaring to everybody is that Donovan Mitchell hasn't been making his shots and hasn't looked like himself, quite frankly, since the, you know, the All-Star break. So that's really where, if there was, you know, red flags for me, it would be, you know, Donovan not being himself. But I feel like as long as he's going through it right now, and he's not going through it in the first round, in the second round, then so be it. You want to get this stuff out of the way now. It's just, you can't be perfect throughout an 82-game season. It's a very long campaign, and it gets to people. And everyone's not at their best at every second of the clock. So as long as you have a team that picks you up and you equally can return the favor down the road, then they're in fine shape.
Spencer Davies, Cleveland Cavaliers on SI with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The story coming out, Kenny Atkinson had talked about it after their game yesterday. And going with a little different look in practice, lightening things up, not going to as intense of practice and sort of just boiling it down to like a game of horse. What can something like that do for a team, especially one like the Cavs, who, yeah, it was a four-game losing streak, but it was their biggest losing streak of the season?
Yeah, no, I think that you also do have to keep it light. It's important to, you know, really connect with these guys on a level where it's not always X's and O's. I know that the old school fan loves to hear that, but, you know, it's just a part of what it is now, and you have to be able to, you know, kind of lighten things up. And I think a game of horse is a good example. I mean, you remember, too, a few years ago that they went on the famous bowling trip, and, you know, it kind of turned their season around and really got them going before the end of the season, too, with J.B. Bickerstaff. So it can't always be serious, serious, serious. If you live life like that, you're going to just end up, I think, at least in my opinion, just kind of crumbling them mentally. And if you add the negativity to something that's already being piled onto, then you're just kind of burying them. So you got to keep the positive energy. You got to look at what they're doing well and then obviously address what's not going right. And then you just kind of, you know, make a judgment from there and you kind of push it forward, because that's what this is. The games do not stop. So it's not like a game of horse is saying, we're not taking this serious at this moment. I think it's like, okay, guys, let's relax. We know how good we are. Let's have a little fun today instead of go really hard. And then obviously outside of the mental spot, you think of the physical part of this, where you want the guys to be in top tier shape when you're going into the postseason. So you don't want to overrun them. You don't want to be, you know, way too hard on them in practice and conditioning, and then they're just not going to have legs when they come back from this road trip on Thursday. So those are the things you have to weigh as a coach, and I'm pretty sure that's a tough balance to have. But I feel like Kenny really has a perfect middle ground with these guys that he knows when to push the right buttons.
This team all year long is talked just on vibes and how good the chemistry in the locker room has been. I mean, it was a major point is why people are saying maybe you don't even shake up the roster. I was not one of them, but maybe you don't shake up the roster just because the team had connected so well. Is that something for you that almost relying on it is transferable to a playoff atmosphere where, you know, you start to clinch up a little bit and the pressure starts to weigh on you a little bit more, and most teams feel like they get more serious, they tighten up. Is it possible for the Cavs to basically be loose and keep the good vibes rolling?
I think so. Familiarity is really important, I feel like. And, you know, you can trust whoever's next to you. If they're going to get in your face and tell you you got to be better, then you know that they're coming from a good place and they're not doing it out of anger, or they're doing it out of because they want to blame someone. They want you to be better, which in turn makes the team better. And I think that having that experience and having gone through the ups and downs that they have in the postseason the last few years, I think really serves them well. And, you know, again, I feel like a lot of people want now in sports, but I feel like you have to have failure in order to succeed. And with this team, I feel like you add the right players into this mix. You get, you know, DeAndre Hunter in, you have Ty Jerome for the full season, unlike last year, and then you just make a few strategic, you know, decisions, and voila, you're here. And you add that in with the chemistry and the development of your younger players like Evan Mobley and Darius Garland, and then Donovan Mitchell stepping to the side and fostering that growth. I feel like that kind of creates a perfect recipe. And I'm really curious to see how this looks in the postseason, but they've done nothing to show me that they can't do this. I also kind of, you know, push back on the idea that it's, you know, it's only vibes too, and not I'm saying that's you, but, you know, they went out and they beat Boston on the road. They've gone and won close games with the Thunder and with the Grizzlies twice. Like, they've done this. They've done it against good competition, and I don't know, you know, where some of that narrative comes from, and people are going to just kind of run with the four-game losing streak and, you know, fire off their takes and all that stuff, but I feel like they are so level-headed and even-keeled that none of this is phasing them, whether they're winning or losing. And I think that the mental side of this and the temperament that they have as a group is going to really serve them well come mid-April.
Let me tell you, I can't tell you how happy I am to hear that, because a lot of talk today across our station in general was just, I don't know if it's transferable, can they do this? And we're basically, you and I lockstep, you know, I think that this could definitely be a whole lot of something, and that this team is more than just, you know, it's good vibes and keep it rolling. I think a lot of people too, again, I'm not included in it, but I've heard the label go across that this team is sort of soft, and that the losing streak on the West Coast, I think a lot of people pointed to a game against the Clippers where Avika Zubats looked really good. What would be your rebuttal, if you have one, for people calling this team just that soft?
Well, I think that Jared Allen proved last year in the playoffs that he is not soft. Against the Magic, with one of the most physical teams that there is, he was absolutely dominating before he got hurt. Okay, so that was one thing there. I would also kind of refer you to Evan Mobley being more aggressive this year and being very much so getting downhill and using his shoulders and his array of moves, whether he's back to basket, going behind the back, driving left. He's shown so much more, so that I think the bigs are so versatile that they don't necessarily have to be the big bruising center that everyone else, you know, might have, like an Ivica Zubac, who, by the way, has been doing that to the league this entire year. So that's another narrative that was run with there. And I think that also, you know, you have to really just focus on getting the rebounds when you get stops. That's the biggest thing. I don't think it's always, oh, they lost because they're physical. There's also other things part of this. Missed shots lead to long rebounds, lead to easier opportunities for other teams. It's harder to defend in the transition. Oh, you didn't guard your man well enough out on the perimeter, so no another person's going to have to suffer because you didn't do your job individually. So then it kind of creates a domino effect. So there's not one singular reason why this team wouldn't be able to match a physical challenge. The Magic were a physical challenge last year, and I know that they were an up-and-coming team that was a lower seed, but they still gave them a fight because that's the type of team they have. I won't say that there's not, you know, an area there where the Cavs can be better, but I'm just saying it's not just the physicality that would be a reason that the Cavs couldn't do something. Like, I feel like people are still running with this narrative from the Knicks series 2 years ago, and I just want to be like, it was 2 years ago. Like, let it go at this point. Let's move on to other things, maybe more X and O's related stuff. But again, I think that Kenny has a good pulse on the team, and I think the team, they hear it and they know it, and I feel like they are looking to prove something and prove everybody wrong in that sense.
Well, I mean, Spencer, it's the exact same team that played against the Knicks. Nothing has changed. I mean, come on. The exact same thing, right?
Well, hey, I mean, you look at this. I mean, you know, you go out and get DeAndre Hunter. The wing was the big conversation, right? Yeah. Now that they get the wing, now the conversation is, oh, they don't have a backup center, which that could be something that comes into play. But this is also something I would love to get across to people, is that every team has a flaw. Even the Boston Celtics, even the Oklahoma City Thunder, they have flaws. You have to lean into your strengths and expose the other team's weaknesses. That is the game of basketball. That is sports. So I feel like even if you're not as physical as another team, or you don't have, you know, the backup center that maybe everyone wanted at the time, then you have to find another way to win. And I think that the Cavs are not a one-dimensional team by any means or stretch of the imagination. They can beat you from the outside. They can play fast. They can slow it down. And then they can play that middle pace that everyone, I feel like, can thrive in. So that's what's needed. You have to have options. You have to have options in players, and you have to have options with styles. And I think the Cavs, they've shown that all year long. And one little four-game losing streak in a season isn't going to change who they are at their core, and they know their identity.
Spencer Davies, Cleveland Cavaliers on a side with us on the hotline. Before I get you out of here, I have to get in. I've seen you very adamantly on X tweeting about the tournament pretty much left and right. I know you're paying attention. I got to go to the games yesterday at Rocket Arena. I had a ton of fun. I need to know your overall thoughts on the tournament, and if you have a winner, if you're somebody that plays a bracket, who is Spencer Davies rooting for?
Oh, 0% winner. My winner was out already on Saturday. I picked St. John's, and that went kaput real quick. Also, for travel Twitter and the old school basketball fan who hasn't watched a game since 1985, that was not a travel on Mr. Derek Queen to win that game the other night. So those are my two takes. But I am very much so involved in the tournament. I know that it's a little different because there aren't really any Cinderellas left. But I'm enjoying it so far, and I'm looking forward to seeing the best of the best still kind of go at it.
Yeah, and I'll hopefully look forward to talking to you about it sometime soon, as well as the Cavs, who are hopefully inching their way towards a long playoff run. Spence, I appreciate it a ton, and I do look forward to talking to you sometime soon here.
Most definitely, Jake. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yep, absolutely. Spencer Davies of Cleveland Cavaliers on SI joining us there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Really good stuff out of Spence. We'll react to what he has to say as well. Guys, I think the vibes to the playoffs just make a whole lot of sense. I don't know why anybody's concerned. 216-474-0092. We'll get to that coming up in about 5 minutes. It's Jake Volmick with you guys on The Fan. Just got done talking to Spencer Davies, Cleveland Cavaliers on SI. Really good stuff out of Spence. It always feels good when I have my general ideas reaffirmed by somebody who I value as much smarter than me on the topic that we're talking about, which is exactly what happened there. Like, I just think overall, the overall sentiment that I could have given you from Spencer's interview is, if you're worried, maybe don't be, right? I don't think it was that bad. I don't think we're in that bad of a spot right now. You're looking at a team who's well on their way to the playoffs, probably well on their way to the one seed, and probably isn't playing with the utmost intensity right now, given the spot that they're on in the long season that they've played and where they find themselves. And I couldn't agree more. It is exactly, I think, where everybody has sort of jumped the gun on being scared. Like, guys, they went on a four-game losing streak. How many NBA teams go on four-game losing streaks? Just about 30 of them. I would say that almost every team across the NBA at one point in their season probably drops close to four games in a row. And they look at it and they go, well, that's not ideal. On to the next. It's just something that happens. The Cavs have just been so good. And I think fans have been almost waiting for something to latch onto is, oh, this team's struggling. Are they going to be able to handle it in the playoffs? Because we have been so Cavs positive for so long that it's almost been hard to criticize this team. Just because, again, they've played so well. They haven't dropped a ton of games. They haven't gone through true rough stretches until now. And I'd brought it up even before the four-game losing streak had sort of come about that, yeah, a little concerning the way that they've played, but overall I think it's going to be all right. So it's been a couple of weeks here, but everything's pretty much good. I think that's the overall takeaway. Now, I did think it was interesting, a question that we asked to Spencer about sort of vibes and how they transferred to the playoffs. It was a thought that had popped in my head while listening to Afternoon Drive today with Nick and JP sort of just having a conversation on just that. When they get to the playoffs, are they going to be able to handle it? JP made a comment that made me think a little bit and sparked something in my head. Here's JP on that exact question.
So, like, you heard last night, for instance, Darius and Donovan joking about the missed alley-oop opportunity, mm-hmm. and then Donovan, like, piped in, like, no, that was all my fault, like, no big deal, whatever it was. But it felt like some of the post games we'd heard from a month ago, from 2 months ago, where these guys were joking with each other after these games. But you mentioned the playoffs, and how much can you do this in the playoffs? Is that what happened in the Knicks series a couple years ago? Did the bright lights get too bright, and then all of a sudden they acted differently than what they had in the regular season? When you're built on such a vibes atmosphere, and then someone asks you to basically lock in and focus a little bit more, do the vibes go away?
Now, I think that the main thing that sparked in my head was, okay, I understand the idea of locking in the playoffs and that teams generally take it, obviously, more seriously than they do the regular season. But in what ways do the vibes have to sort of go away into the postseason? Like, why am I necessarily asking the Cavs in the roster, Donovan, Darius, why am I asking you to be like, hey, I need you to lock in more than you have been all year? You ask that question with a lot of other teams across the NBA, my answer would be different. This team has been locked in all year long. This team has been dialed in basically since game one. When they go on a 15-game winning streak, they've been dialed in. Like, if you have a fear about this team and being able to keep vibes when the pressure's on, like, they've won a lot of blowout games. As in the close games that they've played, the fourth quarter's been probably their best quarter all year long. They've been very good at the end of games, and maybe not so much in this stretch where they've struggled a little bit. Again, it's a team that you look at and say, oh, well, you know, maybe they just don't care as much right now because they don't have a real reason to. But all year long, when the going got tough, in as you were playing Boston on the road, as you've played teams like the Knicks and you've played the Thunder in one of those games, you've played close matchups. You've had the pressure, maybe not necessarily the pressure of the playoffs directly, but you've had pressure mount and go onto your shoulders in big moments, and the vibes had remained. The vibes were perfectly fine. I don't even think this is a team right now that has come anywhere close to losing vibes. And that's something they pointed to there, JP in the clip. Like, they are still very vibe-heavy, vibe-centric. But it's not like in a sense of, hey, things have to be going well for this team to be playing well, and that they go off the fact that it's just always going to be great. It's that just this team has a great ability to keep vibes high themselves. That when they're playing, the mentality and the way that the team acts is in a positive mindset. That's just sort of the way that they've positioned themselves. Be like, okay, no, you're in a great spot. You guys are playing well. You're playing a child's game. As Darius put it after yesterday's win, you're playing a child's game. Eventually, you got to go out there and have fun. And this team has been doing that. This team has found a way to continue to do that. And I think for a reason like that, you have to look at this team and think, yeah, they're going to be just fine. Vibes into the playoffs is something that they can transfer very easily. And I expect them to transfer very easily. There's no part of me that sits around and thinks that this team is going to just crumble in the playoffs. I'd be more afraid of this team crumbling in the playoffs and teams sort of hitting a wall if they had been serious all year long. And they had taken everything so seriously and didn't have the fun that the Cavs had and didn't know how to joke around with each other, fill each other's cars with popcorn, and mess with each other's interviews. Like, those are the things I look at that you're going to be able to rely back on when the season is getting its toughest. I wouldn't be scared in the slightest about this team being able to transfer vibes into the playoffs. I think it's a guarantee. I think you look at this team, and it has nothing to do with the Knicks series you looked at. It has nothing to do with the lights being too bright and this team getting complacent and sort of lackadaisical. I think that's just the way they play. They treat it like a game. And sometimes they have to be reminded of that. But that is sort of the overall mindset this team goes in looking at everything with. All right. We'll circle back on the Cavs later on. But we got to get to Draft Daily. We take a look at the Baltimore Ravens coming up here in about 5 minutes. We'll talk to Rob Long, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. We'll get his thoughts on maybe what the Ravens will do when pick 27 rolls around and whether or not they're going to be making a pick. Again, that coming your way in about 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.